Good morning. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. I know that I cannot see you. You can see me, but in my mind, I imagine all of you sitting here and ready to worship. So let's go ahead and open with prayer. Please bow your heads. Lord, this is the day that you have made for us. We give you praise and honor, for your ways are righteous and true. We give you worship for the holy and just. We will declare that your love stands firm forever, for your love and kindness endures forever. Thank you that your ways are far greater than our ways, your thoughts far deeper than our thoughts. Thank you that your hand a plan to redeem each one of us. Thank you that you made all things new. Thank you that your face is towards the righteous and you hear our prayers and know our hearts, Father. Help us to stay strong and true to you. Help us not to follow after the voices of the crowds, but to press in close to you at this time and always, to hear your whispers and to seek after you and you alone. We praise you. We bless you, Lord. Thank you that you reign supreme. We are more than conquerors through the gift of Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Take this time and do our intercessory prayer. We have something to be thankful for and something that we want to lift up to the Lord. Creator God, Thank you that you are faithful to fulfill all your promises. You have said that you dwell in the hearts of your people through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Even now, when your church can gather together, you're in the midst of all of us. And we know, my Heavenly Father, that you hear our prayers regardless of where we are. Father, we give you praise and glory, for you have given Corey, Barbara's son, correct diagnosis, my Heavenly Father, and he's on the mend, Lord. He's under medication and well taken care of at home. We also, Father, suffer the sorrow of Judy and Glenn's daughter passing away this week. We cannot imagine, unless you have lost a child, the pain that these members of our church family are going through right now. But we lift them up, my Heavenly Father, knowing that you are the only one that can give them support, that can give them solace. Hear our prayer and strengthen your people, Lord. You are God of peace. May you sanctify us completely, and may our whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You who called us are faithful to the end, and in Jesus' name we pray. All together, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our trespasses, and we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord, we lift up to you all those that are sick, all those that are at home, Father, all those that are in need of you, my Heavenly Father. We just pray, Father, that your love, mercy, and grace cover them wherever they are at this moment, my Heavenly Father, and that you will bring us all together, Lord, soon, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Scripture for today is Psalms 118, verses 25 and 26. It's a short verse, but it's a powerful verse. And it would be something that it's to be considered during this Holy Week, to remember, to claim it, and to claim it with your own name. Save us, we pray, O Lord. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable today to you, Lord and my Savior. God's word reminds us of how there is such a great meaning in every part of Christ's story, all directing us towards our need for a Savior. In each of the Gospels, we find the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. The people cut palm branches and waved them in the air. They laid them out on the ground before him as he rode into the city. The palm branch is known to represent goodness and victory, symbolic of the final victory he will soon fulfill over sin and death. Matthew 29:19 describes it like this. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" In Luke 19:41-44, we find this. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known this day the things that make for peace. But now they're hidden from your eyes, for the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." He recently had cried at Lazarus' tomb, only to call him out moments later. And on this day, the excited crowds who had heard his great miracles were leading him royally into the city of David, crying words, the words that we find on Psalms, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the world of the, in the name of the Lord." Some even call him the King of Israel, John 12:13. But still many did not see him as who he really was, and because of their blindness, Jesus wept. Do we see him at who he really is? Today, exactly where we are, do we see him as who he is? All love, all mercy, all powerful, the Son of God. Jesus cried. We cry today. We cry because we're scared. Because people we know are sick. We cry because our finances are in danger. We cry because death has touched our most precious treasure, our children. We cry because we realize that we are not in control. That the control that we think we have of the things we manage and the things that we're steward of has been taken away from our hands. And we don't know when it will be given back. Painful and confusing circumstances bring forth tears. Naturally, we all desperately wish we could avoid such heartbreak, and we will do anything to prevent this kind of anguish for those that we love, those that we care about, even those that we don't know, but we know that are suffering, even those that are lonely and we cannot reach them. We would want to do anything to avoid them going through that suffering. But truth be told, we can't. This is the painful reality of living in a fallen world. Tears are in fact of life and an expression of the pain we experience. It was the same for Jesus on that Sunday. The book of Ecclesiastes prepares us to interpret our tears. In this famous poem in the third chapter, the author identifies the seasons and times marked out for us in this life by our sovereign God, including seasons of sadness. For everything there is a season, and a time for every season under heaven, a time to weep. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 and 4. If for you it is a time to weep, your emotion is not a demonstration of lack of faith. God has appointed your tears, and it is appropriate to cry. While it might seem like you will never be happy again, your crying won't last forever. Weeping has its time, its meaning. It has a beginning, and it has an end date, even though that we cannot see it today. Ecclesiastes tells us that God also has appointed a time to laugh, Ecclesiastes 3 and 4. Or as the psalmist put it, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Though it may be hard to believe right now, we will laugh again. We will all laugh together. Granted, in times of grief, it is hard to see beyond our tears, but more is happening within us in seasons of sadness that we may realize. God will not waste one day of our lives in just being shut in and doing nothing with our spiritual life. In his infinite wisdom, our Heavenly Father is weaving the painful threads of our lives into a grand design. He's making something beautiful from our tears. He has made everything, even times to weep, beautiful in its time, Ecclesiastes 3:11. Rarely, though, do we see the beauty God is creating. Our vision is filled with the devastation of our suffering, and questions overflow with our tears. Why me, Lord? Why this? Why now? And how can anything good come from our pain? It is part of our DNA to want to know and understand. And God knows that. And God knows that we are full of questions. God knows that we're actually looking in every corner for a reason for what is happening right now. But he might not see fit to let us know why it's happening right now. All that he wants us to do at this moment is to trust him, to put our trust in him, to know that he is for you and not against you. We recognize that there is a bigger picture, a wider purpose for our suffering, because God has put eternity into man's heart. We want to figure out what God is doing, but we're stopped short when we discover that God also has placed limitations upon our capacity to comprehend. Yet, man cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end, Ecclesiastes 3:11. The ability to perceive and yet not perceive is a work of God. Sometimes you can feel the voice inside of you, and that would be the voice of the Holy Spirit, trying to calm your fears, trying to dry your tears, trying to give you comfort and remind you of the Word of God. When you feel like crying, do cry. When you feel like laughing, do laugh. But don't forget the time of prayer. It is crucial at this time that we trust God with everything, with every moment of our day. On the Sunday he came into Israel, he knew it was the beginning of his suffering, but he faced it because he had us, humanity, in mind. All of us, everyone in the whole world, was on his mind. Today, as we look forward, we must have Christ in our minds. Look to your Savior, who walked this earth, wept over sinful humanity, and went to the cross. Knowing who we are and who we will be. God is not just sitting in his throne of grace and not seeing what is going on in our world today. I believe that God has been crying over us for a long time. I'm not one to call what has happened punishment. I don't believe that God does that to us. I believe that God is all love, all mercy, and all grace. And I believe that this is a moment for us to make sure that if we have deviated from trusting God in the past for being completely committed to him, this is the time. This we could use as a wake-up call. If there is something that can be done at this time, it can only come from God. The God that saved you, the God that made you, the God that created this earth, the God that promised to love you and walk with you every day of your life. That is the God that you serve, that I serve, and that is the God that can change things. When we turn to God in our tears, times of weeping also become our times of greatest growth. Ecclesiastes tells us that God uses our appointed season of sorrow to teach us to fear him. God has done it so that people fear before him, Ecclesiastes 3:14. But I'm not talking about fear like if God was a dictator. I'm talking about the fear that we find more than 300 times in the Bible. The fear of God is absolute reverence and awe for Almighty God, the creator of all things. This is a healthy, spiritual fear. We should have fear when we stray away from doing the right thing. We should have fear when we could have help and we didn't. But not fear of punishment, but fear that we have disappointed him. Fear that we have made him sad. While it might seem like we are stuck or even strayed spiritually at this moment, our tears come from the bottom of our hearts. I just can't imagine any other words. Our tears come from the bottom of our hearts. It is the opposite of other times. We are confounded, we are confused, we don't know what's coming, and we can only see what's behind us. So it is okay to cry, but we have to cry out to God. The God that works in our lives, the God that has brought us this far, the God that will not leave us or forsake us. No part of our lives is wasted. God will see every bit of our trials for our own good and for his glory. Every day, every trial, every moment, he will bring something for us and for his glory out of this situation. God appoints a time to weep in order to reveal himself to us in deeper ways than we have ever known him. He is sovereignly leading us through this valley of tears so that we might come to trust and treasure Jesus Christ above all. So to all who are weeping, look to Christ your Savior, who walked this earth, wept over sinful humanity, and went to the cross in our place. No matter how long and hard this painful season is, may you find comfort as you recall the truth of Ecclesiastes 3. God is creating beauty, providing with gifts each day, and teaching you how to fear him. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was preordained. These present times are not a surprise to God. As hard as they are, let's concentrate on the glory of the days to come. Let's take this next week and meditate in Christ's suffering, his suffering for us all. Today marks the beginning of Holy Week. Let's meditate on the sacrifice of Christ as he walked each day toward the cross in our name. And remember, there will be a Resurrection Sunday. We will come out of these times spiritually stronger, if you allow the Holy Spirit to lead you, if you place your trust solely in Christ, predictions about what is to happen are everywhere. We are to follow guidelines and rules. They're there for the benefit of us all. But then, let's pray, acknowledging that Jesus cares for us all, that the power is in his hands to change it all. And then cry. Cry all you need to cry. But cry out to Jesus. He will be your comforter and your hope. What he did for us dying on the cross is payment for our sins. It is a greater sacrifice than anything we have to go through right now. So cry out to Jesus. He loves you. He will never leave you. His arms are open for each one of us. If you find yourself confused, even anger, just not knowing what's ahead, trust the hand of God. Trust the hand of God that is with you right there where you are. You're not alone. Even if you think you are, God is with you, and so is your Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for sending your Son and paving the way for our lives to be set free through Jesus' death on the cross. Thank you for what this day stands for, the beginning of Holy Week, the start of the journey towards the power of the cross, the victory of the resurrection, and the rich truth that Jesus truly is our King. He is the King of Kings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to tell you before I give you a blessing that I miss each and every one of you. Of course, you are the church, and the church is where you are today, but we sure miss seeing you and talking to you and just seeing your friendly faces. I love you all. God bless you. Receive now this blessing from the Lord. New life signals peace, health, healing, holds out its arms for us. Begin your week knowing that you are walking straight into the embrace of God. He is with us. He has not left us alone. He is walking with each and every one of you. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week. It's just where you are. God bless you all. Amen.